42. Talk at Euclid Hall. 6th May 1912. Cleveland, Ohio. From stenographic notes. This is a very joyous evening, an evidence in itself of the possibility of uniting the East and the West. An Eastern man appearing before an assemblage of reverent Western people. The East and West, the Orient and Occident, shall be united. If we search history, we shall not find the record of such an occasion where one has travelled from the far East to the far West to address a meeting of this universal character. This is a miracle of the 20th century, which proves that the seemingly impossible may become real and possible in the kingdom of man. Praise be to God. The dark ages have disappeared, and the age of light has at last arrived. The sun of reality has dawned with supreme effulgence. The realities of things have become manifest and renewed. The mysteries of the unknown have been revealed, and great inventions and discoveries mark this period as a most wonderful age. Through the ingenuity and inventions of man, it is possible to cross the wide oceans, fly through the air, and travel in submarine depths. At any moment, the Orient and Occident can communicate with each other. Trains speed across the continents. The human voice has been arrested and reproduced, and now man can speak at long distances from any point. These are some of the signs of this glorious century. The great progress mentioned has taken place in the material world. Remarkable signs and evidences have become manifest. Hidden realities and mysteries have been disclosed. This is the time for man to strive and put forth his greatest efforts in spiritual directions. Material civilization has reached an advanced plane, but now there is need of spiritual civilization. Material civilization alone will not satisfy. It cannot meet the conditions and requirements of the present age. Its benefits are limited to the world of matter. There is no limitation to the spirit of man, for spirit in itself is progressive. And if the divine civilization be established, the spirit of man will advance. Every developed susceptibility will increase the effectiveness of man. Discoveries of the real will become more and more possible, and the influence of divine guidance will be increasingly recognized. All this is conducive to the divine form of civilization. This is what is meant in the Bible by the descent of the New Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem is none other than divine civilization, and it is now ready. It is to be and shall be organized, and the oneness of humankind will be a visible fact. Humanity will then be brought together as one. The various religions will be united, and different races will be known as one kind. The Orient and Occident will be conjoined, and the banner of international peace will be unfurled. The world shall at last find peace, and the equalities and rights of men shall be established. The capacity of humankind will be tested, and a degree shall be attained where equality is a reality. All the peoples of the world will enjoy like interests, and the poor shall possess a portion of the comforts of life. Just as the rich are surrounded by their luxuries in palaces, the poor will have at least their comfortable and pleasant places of abode. And just as the wealthy enjoy a variety of food, the needy shall have their necessities and no longer live in poverty. In short, a readjustment of the economic order will come about. The divine sonship will attract, the sun of reality will shine forth, and all phenomenal being will attain a portion. Consider, what is this material civilization of the day giving forth? Has it not produced the instruments of warfare and destruction? In olden times, the weapon of war was the sword. Today, it is the smokeless gun. Warships a century ago were sailing vessels. Now we have dreadnoughts. Instruments and means of human destruction have enormously multiplied in this era of material civilization. But if material civilization shall become organized in conjunction with divine civilization, if the man of moral integrity and intellectual acumen shall unite for human betterment and uplift with the man of spiritual capacity, the happiness and progress of the human race will be assured. All the nations of the world will then be closely related and companionable, and the religions will merge into one, for the divine reality within them all is one reality. Abraham proclaimed this reality. Jesus promulgated it. All the prophets who have appeared in the world have founded their teachings upon it. Therefore, the people of the world have this one true, unchangeable basis for peace and agreement, and war, which has raged for thousands of years, will pass away. For centuries and cycles, humanity has been engaged in war and conflict. At one time, the pretext for war has been religion. At another time, patriotism, racial prejudice, national politics, territorial conquest, or commercial expansion. In brief, humanity has never been at peace during the period of known history. What blood has been shed? How many fathers have mourned the loss of sons? How many sons have wept for fathers and mothers, for dear ones? Human beings have been the food and targets of the battlefield, and everywhere warfare and strife have been the theme and burden of history. Ferocity has characterized man even more than animals. The lion, tiger, bear, and wolf are ferocious because of their needs. Unless they are fierce, cruel, and unrelenting, they will die of starvation. The lion cannot graze. Its teeth are fitted only for food of flesh. This is also true of other wild animals. Ferocity is natural to them as their means of subsistence, but human ferocity proceeds from selfishness, greed, and oppression. It springs from no natural necessity. Man needlessly kills a thousand fellow creatures, becomes a hero, and is glorified through centuries of prosperity. A great city is destroyed in one day by a commanding general. How ignorant, how inconsistent is humankind! If a man slays another man, we brand him as a murderer and criminal, and sentence him to capital punishment. But if he kills 100,000 men, he is a military genius, a great celebrity, a Napoleon idolized by his nation. If a man steals $1, he's called a thief and put into prison. If he rapes and pillages an innocent country by military invasion, he's crowned a hero. How ignorant is humankind! Ferocity does not belong to the kingdom of man. It is the province of man to confer life, not death. It behooves him to be the cause of human welfare, but inasmuch as he glories in the savagery of animalism, It is an evidence that divine civilization has not been established in human society. Material civilization has advanced unmistakably, but because it is not associated with divine civilization, evil and wickedness abound. In ancient times, if two nations were at war 12 months, not over 20,000 men would be killed. Now, the instruments of death have become so multiplied and perfected that 100,000 can be destroyed in a day. In 3 months, during the Russo-Japanese War, 1 million perished. This was undreamed of in former cycles. The cause is the absence of divine civilization. This revered American nation presents evidences of greatness and worth. It is my hope that this just government will stand for peace, so that warfare may be abolished throughout the world and the standards of national unity and reconciliation be upraised. This is the greatest attainment of the world of humanity. This American nation is equipped and empowered to accomplish that which will adorn the pages of history, to become the envy of the world, and be blessed in the East and the West for the triumph of its democracy. I pray that this may come to pass, and I ask the blessing of God in behalf of you all.